Great. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, either this type or the ones on your phone or iPad or however you have them these days, you may want to turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. And you might need the index to find that, or it's after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. We'll look at a verse in a moment or two from that book. Now, don't answer me. Don't answer me. We'll be here for a very long time. But I wonder, do you and I keep the promises that we make to one another? I wonder. Okay? Do we always keep the promises that we make to one another? I guess that we like to think that we do, but I guess many of us over the years have let ourselves down, as well as other people down, over the years when we have failed to keep our promises. We all have, I presume, broken our promises at some time or another. In other words, we've basically been unfaithful to someone. We live in a world, of course, of broken promises. How many times have we said these kind of things to people over the years? I will be there in 5 minutes. Now, I guess from the laughters there, 5 hours later, we think, oh, should have been there five, I'm doing that as though it's an old phone, isn't it? You don't know what that is, do you? On our phones, I can't speak to you now, but I'll call you back later on this afternoon. And 6 days later, we think, oh, should have rung them back, and didn't do it. You haven't seen someone for a while. We'll keep in touch for sure, and we never do. I'm guilty of that. I guess all of us are from time to time. Or someone, you have a conversation, and you think, I'll think about that, and I'll get back to you. And we don't. And of course, in Christian circles, I'm sure I'm the exception. You do all this all the time, I'm sure, in the sense of, when you say you're going to pray for somebody, you do. But how often have we said, I'll pray for you, and then we don't? Yeah, I guess we're all guilty of that from time to time. We've broken our promises at some time or another. We break our promises. However, our God, in my book, and over the years I've been a Christian, way back to 1979, our God, my God, is always faithful. He is, in my book, 100% reliable, 100% of the time. He does not fail us, he does not forget us, he does not falter, he does not change, he does not disappoint. Our God says what he means, and he means what he says. And therefore, he does everything he says he will do. Now, just look at these words from Scripture, for example, and there's many of them, but Exodus 34 and verse 6, he is abounding in love and faithfulness. Okay. Then Deuteronomy 32, he is a what? Faithful God. Okay, we're going to turn into a Pentecostal church a bit here this morning, okay? So you got to audience participation, if you get it. Psalm 89, a great psalm about God's faithfulness. It says there in verse 2, you established your faithfulness, okay, in heaven itself. Psalm 89, verse 8, your faithfulness, great, surrounds you. Psalm 89:33, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness, says God to us. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. Someone said faithful before I got to that point. Yeah, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and God is faithful. And 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, he is faithful. Great. These verses taken together, and other verses I'm sure you can quote, establish that God's faithfulness is not some minor part of his character or his being. To say that God is faithful goes to the core, I believe, of who God really is. He keeps his word, because if he didn't keep his word, he wouldn't be God. Now consider these other verses as well. And you may not see them all because of the light or whatever, but here we are. His word is eternal. It says there in Psalm 119, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. He will not change. Again, we find here in Psalm 119, God is as faithful today as he was yesterday. Your faithfulness continues through all generations, it says there in Psalm 119. And then thirdly here, he is reliable in all his works. Psalm 111 says, the works of his hands are faithful and just. Again, another verse here. He is faithful even if we are not faithful. 2 Timothy 2 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's it. Our salvation depends on God's faithfulness as well. It says there in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being a Christian disciple depends on God's faithfulness. It says there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Another verse here, our future resurrection depends on God's faithfulness. It says there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. I wonder, are you getting the point for this morning's service here? It's all about God's faithfulness to us. I hope you are getting that this morning. I think hopefully you'll be able to take away with you. If you forget everything else that goes on here this morning, and you forget everything else I'm going to say, you'll remember that word faithful or faithfulness. Okay, God is faithful. If you've been around church, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you'll probably know that. But what can we take with us into the rest of this day and into this coming week about God's faithfulness? So what? Well, few things here. When you get discouraged, remember God is what? Faithful. That's right, he's faithful. You see, we all get discouraged. Some people get more discouraged than others, for whatever reasons, but all Christians get discouraged. Now, if anybody's ever told you as a Christian that you shouldn't be discouraged, see me afterwards. I'd like to sort of talk to you about that. All people, all Christians get discouraged. If you never get discouraged, ever get discouraged, again, see me over coffee. I would like to know the secret of your success. I really would. God is faithful. I get down on occasions, but when I do, I try to remember God's faithfulness to me in the past. I read his word to encourage me, and I try to remember always that God is on my side. When you get discouraged, remember God is faithful. When you doubt your eternal salvation, remember God is faithful. Have you ever felt that you're not good enough to be a Christian? Yeah, I don't know if you have or not. That's what I thought, over the years, but particularly when I was a younger Christian. I looked around at Christians around about me. I was in the boys' grade. I was involved in a church because I fancied the minister's daughter. She's here this morning. So I was around church. But I looked around at the Christians who were there, older Christians, boys in the boys' brigade who were Christians. And they were so good, you know. I thought, well, that's what I thought anyway. When I got to know them, I realized they were just not ordinary human beings. But not being good enough put me off being a Christian for a very long time. How can I ever get to heaven, I thought. I could never be like them. They prayed prayers which were in another language, and I'm not talking about tongues here. There's a language of Zion, as we used to say, okay? And I thought, I could never, ever pray like that. I thought I was simply not good enough to be a Christian. But getting to heaven, of course, has nothing to do with being good enough, is it? You and I would never be good enough to get to heaven. But the Bible makes it very clear indeed that Jesus gives eternal life as a free gift, and we can be assured that as soon as we repent of our sins and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are going to heaven one day. When I die, hopefully it's not going to be just yet, but when I die, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not being presumptuous or anything there, because I know that what it says in Scripture and what Jesus has done for me and for you on the cross of Calvary and through the empty tomb. Because what he's done for us, you and I can know, if we believe in him, that one day we will be going to heaven. And that's for eternity. And that's a very long time, I'm told. God is faithful. He won't change his mind in that. What does it say in John 14? It says there, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," says Jesus to his disciples. Because they were a bit concerned as to what was going to happen, you know, after they died. And Jesus says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," he says to his disciples. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. And what's more, I'm going there to prepare a place for you in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going," Jesus says in John 14. And then Thomas, one of his followers, one of his disciples, said to Jesus, and I'm sure the other disciples were asking the same sort of question, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered those powerful words, even more powerful today in this, in the cultures and the society in which we live. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father, no one gets to heaven except through me." If you're reading, "Know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him," Jesus says, "and you have seen him." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then you are assured of life in eternity. When you doubt your eternal salvation, remember God is what? Faithful. Okay. When you are tempted to sin, remember God is faithful. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians 3. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." And then in 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." God is faithful. He won't always take those temptations away from us, if only he did. But he will offer you and me the strength to stand up against those sins. Remember, Jesus endured temptation, and we will as well. He resisted and he overcame, and we can as well. Why? Because God is faithful. When you get discouraged, when you doubt your eternal salvation, when you are tempted to sin, remember God is what? Faithful. When you mess up in life also, remember God is faithful. The great thing about being a Christian is that when we mess up, when we go our own way rather than God's way, when we allow sin to penetrate our lives, is that the end of the story? Are we condemned forever, for eternity? Brilliant. You answered, you know my script in front of me. No, fortunately, no, we're not. Why? Because Scripture says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all our wrongdoing, our unrighteousness." He is faithful. God is faithful. And remember, all of us has sins, says the Bible. Again, if you've never sinned, see me after the service. Again, I'd like to know the secret of your success in that respect. But the Bible says all of us have sinned. We all sin, no matter what we do or say or not do that we should have done and all the rest. When we do that, when we sin, is God saying, "Well, that's it"? No, he's not. He is waiting there with open arms, waiting for us to come back to him. And when we come back to him, he will tell us again, he still loves us, and he allows us to start again. As the old hymn says, "New every morning is the love. New every morning is the love. I love that story in the Gospels, of course. You know the one about the prodigal son, where the son wanted his share of the inheritance, so he got it from his father and he went away and he used all that inheritance in wild and reckless living. Had a lot of friends around him at that point. And then the money ran out and everybody left him. Oh, what a surprise. And he was so hungry, what did he do? He went to the farm and he worked as a laborer there, and he was so hungry he ate the food that he was giving to the pigs. And the Good News version, I think, says he came to his senses one day. He woke up and he came to his senses. He thought, hang on, what am I doing this for? I can go back home. I can be a servant in my dad's household. I'll get clothes, I'll get food, and everything will be fine. And so the son headed home, didn't he? And you remember in that the account how the father was looking out for his son daily. And he saw his son in the distance, turning the corner and coming back towards him. And what did the father do? Did he wait until the son got to his feet and said, look, I told you so, had a bit of a go at him? No, he didn't, did he? We read that the father ran down the road with open arms and embraced his son, who was dead but was now alive, who was blind, he now saw. That's the love of that father to the prodigal son, as we call him. And that's the love that God has for each and every one of us. When we mess up, he's always there. I don't understand that. It blows my socks off when I think about the fact that God always is there. He always loves me. He always forgives me. I don't understand that. And I've been to Bible college for many years. I've studied God's word. I don't understand it, but I accept it. I believe it with all my heart. He is a faithful God. He's my faithful God. When I mess up in life, he doesn't run away from me. He's there waiting. And when he sees me, he's not going to have a go at me. He's going to welcome me back home with open arms. And you'll be pleased to know, because this is the screen's getting rather full up, this is my last point. When you feel weak, remember what God is faithful. What does the writer to the Hebrews say in Hebrews 10:23? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Yeah. Over my years as a Christian, and particularly over my years as a local pastor, 26 years, I was at Aldrich Baptist Church for 15 years before I took up my role now 15 years ago. I was at Aldrich, where Simon is now. And before that, I was in Maidstone and another church near Dartford. And during my 15 years as a regional minister as well, there have been many times when I have felt weak. Weak spiritually, weak emotionally, weak pastorally, weak in leadership skills, you name it, I have felt weak in it over those years. Even as a pastor, and you think pastors are immune from those things. No, they're not. We're human, believe it or not. Your minister, Jamie, is human, okay? We are human beings. We suffer. We get down on occasions. We feel weak so often in our leadership skills and all the rest. And what I needed then was not only to be reminded that God is faithful and God loves me. I also needed to know that my brothers and sisters in Christ also loved me. And that's sometimes where it didn't always happen. I'm sure it's perfect here. I'm sure Jamie, he hasn't spoken to me about you, so that's good, in a good way. Ministers speak to me about their churches when things are going pear-shaped, so he hasn't done that at all. So I'm really pleased about that. I'm sure, Jamie's got sabbatical now, but I'm sure, and if you don't, may I encourage you to do this all the more. Support him and his wife and the family as well. In the good times and in the tough times. They are humans. They need encouragement. Not only from God, they get their resources, they get their encouragement, they get the reassurance of God is faithful, they get that from God, but they need us as well. And I've been in churches too where those churches don't support their ministers. They don't even support one another. They come to church on the Sunday morning and they get into the vertical dimension of worship, which is great. You know, they're worshiping God and all the rest, saying, God, you know, we love you, and that's fantastic, of course. That's the vertical dimension of worship. There's also a horizontal dimension of worship as well. Fellowship, sharing with each other. And sadly, in my role, I see so many churches and individual Christians being those people who are putter-downers rather than builder-uppers. I trust in this fellowship. We're all builder-uppers of one another, including Jamie as well. I trust that we all leave from the same door at the end, as it were, rather than some going around the back and trying to avoid somebody at that door, you know? I've been in churches where you have been as well, maybe, where this side doesn't talk to that side, you know, and they go through separate doors. I'm sure that's not the case here. But remember, when we find it tough, I digressed a little bit there, but when we find it tough in ministry, when we find it tough being a Christian, when we feel weak, remember, God is faithful. Now, what can I say by way of conclusion? Well, God has been faithful to this church in all its ups and downs over the years. In fact, the author of that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, are we singing that at the end? No, we're not singing that at the end. Not worry, okay. I suggested it, but we're not going to do it. But some of you will know, Great is Thy Faithfulness. No, okay, maybe you don't. Okay, well, the writer, the author of that old hymn, okay, was a chap called Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. And he had his ups and downs in life as well. And Thomas knew, and we can as well, that new blessings from God can come to us each new morning. As the Bible says in Lamentations, this is where the Bible verse is that you can take away and chew over for the rest of this week. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 says, His compassions they fail not, depending on your version. His compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. As I got there, or this version here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Thomas, the writer of that hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, knew that only too well. And also, remember this, when the writer of Lamentations wrote his words here, it was when the nation round about him was falling down before his very eyes. Jerusalem, the great capital city of the Jewish people, was being destroyed before his very eyes. The place where God lived, as far as the Jews were concerned, was no longer. The city was burning down. The temple was being destroyed. The people were being taken into captivity, into Babylon. In fact, the writer of Lamentation gave five laments, five passionate expressions of grief, sorrow, and regret. And in the final lament, the final prayer, he prays to God for restoration. That didn't come overnight, but it did eventually come. But here in chapter 3 of Lamentations, the third lament, the writer says that despite the fact that he and the people felt in a very dark place, crushed and battered even to the point where all hope was dying, faith still rekindles at the thought of God in his love and his mercy. When all is lost, there comes the knowledge that God is always near and is always faithful. So for this church and for each one of us, in times of encouragement, we all have those times of encouragement. There are times of discouragement. However, this book, in my book, Scripture, the Bible, shows us very clearly indeed that just as God has been faithful to us in the past, as churches and as individuals, we need to continually be faithful to him. It's a relationship. It's a marriage, if you like. And we need to keep on keeping on, even through the tough times. Why? Because God is always faithful to us. My God, and I trust your God, is a faithful God. He will never, ever let you and me down. Even in those times when we feel weak, when we have messed things up again and again, when we are tempted to do our own thing and sin, when we go through times of doubt, when we go through times of discouragement, remember, God is faithful. Indeed, great is his faithfulness. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, your word is always there. It's constant. Father, help us to get into your word. Help us to love your word. Help us to live your word. But Father, thank you for reminding us this morning of your faithfulness, your great faithfulness to us. Father, thank you for the way that you've been to been faithful to us in the past, as you will be in the future. Maybe today we're finding it a bit tough for a whole variety of reasons. Father, help me, help each one of us to refocus in on you and to remember you're always there. You're not going away, and you're there ready to pick us up and to dust us off and allow us to start again. We thank you that new every morning is your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.